Audible.com is the leading provider in spoken word entertainment, including books, magazines, newspapers, and podcasts. They have over 35,000 books to choose from, including a large selection of conservative titles. Log on to townhall.com/audible to get a free audiobook download when you sign up today. Again, it's townhall.com/audible for your free audiobook.
The Ultimate Issues Hour on the Dennis Prager Show every week at this time, an hour devoted to some great issue of life. And the appropriateness of the mentioning of God in the theme that we have for the opening of the Ultimate Issues Hour for this particular hour, because this one will in fact be about God, and it will be a question that you may have never asked yourself, and one that you may in fact have been struggling with your whole life, and indeed I have. This is a somewhat different edition of the Ultimate Issues Hour, in that I will be more of a sounding board than an answer giver in this particular case. Let me preface this with an autobiographical, because there will be an autobiographical element to this particular hour, where the question, the great ultimate issue of this hour, is God lovable? Not believable. To me, it is so obvious that there is a God. It is so obvious to me that I am dazzled by people's either unwillingness or inability, and there are good people there. These are not necessarily bad people at all. But to believe that everything came about on its own is to me an astonishing belief. So the issue of God's existence does not plague me. But there is a second issue, and that is God lovable? And I want to tell you how this arose, because I finally know, after many false calls, I must admit, a little sheepishly, that my next book is on this subject, is God lovable? I was invited by St. Martin's Press to join some others whom they call great thinkers, and I feel a little embarrassed being at even telling you that, but that's what the series is called. And they've asked certain thinkers, as it were, and it's an interesting series for this reason, they've asked them to speak about a particular failure or struggle in their life. And I told them that for me, the issue was prayer and God's lovability, because they are indeed related. They're not entirely related, but they are related. And they were very enthused about my writing on that subject. An essay in my book, Think a Second Time, my book of essays, is entitled, in fact, Is God Lovable? And I make the case for that difficulty. It's for me, it's easy to believe in God. It's easy to believe that God cares about me. I do believe that. God cares about you. God cares about everybody. I believe that too. I believe that God, in some way, even dispenses some ultimate justice in life. This life filled with injustice, as every one of you knows. And that through the afterlife, in some way, it works itself through in ways that I cannot understand, and nor do I speculate about, because when I know that it is not possible for me to understand something, I don't do what I think is a waste of time and speculate on the unknowable. But I do believe in all of that. Nevertheless, the issue of loving God is a tough one. For some people, like my father, for example, it comes naturally. He absolutely loves God. He says it all the time, has said it throughout my life. He continues to say it at the age of 88. And I take him at his word. But for other people, and I am one of them, it is a much more difficult challenge. And the reason that it is at all a challenge is that we're in fact told to love God. Jews and Christians are admonished regularly to love God from the Old and New Testaments. In the Jewish Bible, known as the Old Testament, we're told in Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And, of course, for Christians, there were the two great commandments are loving God and loving man. And the question is that easy? How do you do it? When you look at a world that has been made that has so much terrible suffering, I don't know that it's all that easy. In fact, my conclusion in my essay, in my book of essays, is that one of the most lovable things about God is that he knows he's not lovable. it's an act of tremendous self-awareness, if I may use the term for God, and humility, that he tells us to love him, because you only give a commandment where there might be an inclination not to do it. If I tell you not to speed, that means you have an inclination to go over the speed limit. Obviously, there are only rules given when there is an inclination not to violate it. There's no commandment to love your children, because we love our children naturally. It's virtually instinctive. We are stunned when we meet a parent who doesn't love his or her child. Stunned. We assume that they're deeply, deeply pathologic. We just do love our children. That comes with the territory. But God knows that he may not be all that lovable, given the amount of suffering in this life, not necessarily your own suffering. You may have had it great. But the suffering that we witness in others, the level of it is astonishing. God made a world where suffering is a major factor of life. And I mean horrific. I mean everybody has suffering, but there are levels of it that boggle the mind. And so I'm interested to know how it is that if you have questions, you find this also a difficult subject. Belief in God, not a problem, but loving God, somewhat of a problem. Or you've resolved it. That with all of the terrible things, you walk around constantly with a feeling of love toward God. 1-8-PRAGER-776. 1-8-PRAGER-776. That's the subject of this hour, and brand new news. That's the subject of my next book, which I am diligently at work at right now, and the publisher is there, and it's the series of Thinkers in American Life that I have been honored to contribute to. But that's a tough one for me, and I fully acknowledge it. I don't say it with pride. I don't say it with shame. I just say it with honesty. But that's the last link, if you will, in my own religious, and I am a deeply religious man, my own religious development and orientation. And I know that I speak for more than myself in this. There is no doubt that I speak for many of you. So here's the question: is God lovable? And how, what side you take, where you have resolved this question, if you have resolved it at all. I welcome atheists, believers, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Unitarians, anybody who wishes to call in is invited to do so at 1-8-PRAGER-776. And let's see how you have resolved this question. Daniel in Burbank, California. Dennis Prager, hi. Daniel, are you there? Daniel has decided not to be there for whatever reason, so we will go to San Antonio, Texas, and David. Hello, David.
Hello, Dennis. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Dennis, I believe the problem arises because there's a great misunderstanding of the word love, as there is great misunderstanding of the word forgiveness. Love in the sense of being lovable, in the sense of a puppy is lovable or a child is lovable or something, does not even apply to the biblical concept of love. In the New Testament, I'm a Christian, God's love is always presented in light of the cross.
Well, that's God's love. The question is not whether God loves us. The question is, for us, is God lovable? I'll keep you on. Let's be very careful here. That's the only question on the table. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show, the Ultimate Issues Hour. Some great issue of life raised every week at this hour on my show. I devote the hour to it. This one is God lovable? And it is the subject of my next book. After all of the things that I have flirted with writing about, that's the one that I ended up being commissioned to do, as it were. And it has always been an issue for me. Never God's existence, never listening to God. I have no antipathy, but the world that he made is filled with terrible suffering, and I am not one of them. With all the difficulties of my life, like every one of you have had, but I've had an incredibly wonderful life, incredible. All I have is gratitude for my life, so I'm not speaking about my own life here. But I look around. So that's the question on the table. Not does God love us, so don't call in to tell me that God loves us. That's not my question. My question is God lovable by us? So we go back to David in San Antonio. Hi, David.
Hi, Dennis. Yes, the point I was trying to make was that God's love is shown in light of the cross. I understand the subject is God lovable? But in order for us to determine if he's lovable, we must first know who God is and how he has revealed himself. And he has revealed himself as perfectly righteous, perfectly just, as well as perfectly loving. I love him because he has delivered me from his wrath through his son, Jesus Christ, as a Christian. That's the reason that I love him, not because he's cuddly and warm. That may be an aspect of God's character.
Delivered you from what?
But delivered me from his wrath. If God is just, he must punish sin. It's either punished in the sinner or
Alright, but the issue here is not whether God punishes us, it's whether he made a world in which so many good people suffer gratuitously.
I don't see the connection there.
Well, there isn't a connection. That's my point. The fact that God may not, that you believe that God will not punish you, even though you may deserve it, is wonderful, but that's not the challenge to God's lovability. When that fact, or that belief, to be more accurate, is unrelated to, let us say, a family that some crackpot walks into the house and tortures the members of the family to death.
But nevertheless, that family can also be delivered from the wrath of God through his son, Jesus Christ.
That is
why we love God, because of what he has done for us, not because he's particularly lovable in the way that we conceive of lovability.
But we're told to love God with all of our heart. And I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
We're told to love God with all of our heart.
Yes.
The world as it has turned out is often spectacularly cruel.
Yes. But we understand that God is perfectly righteous and perfectly just.
But the world he has made is not perfectly right and just.
Right, but anything short of hell is grace, because we deserve God's wrath. God has graciously delivered us from his wrath, and that's why we love him.
All right, fair enough. I thank you. That's a Christian perspective, and I appreciate it. And let's go to Lisa in Sarasota, Florida. Lisa, Dennis Prager, thank you for calling.
Yes, I like the last caller, I guess it never occurred to me that this would be a challenge, Dennis, and I don't say that cavalierly. You're tying in the suffering in the world, and somehow that would preclude or somehow make it more difficult for us to, in an active verb way, love God. I also don't see the connection. I love God. I was raised Catholic. I'm a non-practicing Catholic, I guess Christian at this point, but I love God because I love God. There's been amazing things in my life, both tragedy and blessings, and my love hasn't wavered as the roller coaster has progressed in my life. I just love God because
Have you ever read about Have you ever read about the Gulag or Auschwitz or Pol Pot?
Yes. Yes.
When you read that, do you think the whole time, "Boy, do I love God"?
Well, see, here's the thing. To answer your question directly, I never thought of that question. While I did, my major was Russian, and in college I spent time there studying. So, I've seen some of this with my own eyes. But, again, I don't feel there's the connection there because people create terrible misfortune.
All right, so forget the people. Have you ever seen children in a cancer ward?
Yes.
And is your first thought, "Boy, is God lovable"?
No, but at the same time, my first thought is, "Boy, isn't, boy, God is horrible."
I didn't say God is horrible. I never thought that. It doesn't even occur to me.
Okay. Well, then let me be specific. My first thought is then not, "Geez, God, I'm having a hard time loving you because of this tragedy I'm witnessing."
So when you see the great amount of natural suffering in the world, and I'm only asking you, I'm not challenging you even.
Right.
It never occurs to you that God may be less than fully lovable.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate your call very much. And let's go to more calls here. And, it's the nature of radio is that there are only six lines at once. So there may be people screaming at the radio, yeah, Dennis, I feel like you do, I do. But you may not just be able to get in with the flood of calls of people who do, in fact, have no problem in this way. But that's all right, so be it. See how people work this out. For some of you, it is not even an issue, and that's fine. Look, for my own father, it's not an issue. I opened up the hour saying it. Maybe my issue is in a small minority, and I'd be interested in. I don't know whether it is or not. I have no idea. Rancho Cucamonga, California. Keith, hello, Keith. Dennis Prager.
Good afternoon or morning. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Listen, I just had a question for you before I explain this. How do you define loving God? What would your definition of that be? The working definition.
Well, the love that we're asked by God to have is no different than the love. It's at least as great as the love we would have for a child of ours, for a spouse of ours, for a parent, for a friend.
No, I apologize. What I'm asking you is, how would you define our love shown to God? What would be a definition of my love toward God? How would you define that? How would that
You mean
look?
How do I define an expression of it? Or
it's
how do
God.
I...
God.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, how would you define an expression of my love toward God?
Well, I'm really talking here about feeling, not about action. This is a time where I really am talking about feeling, because we're told to feel love. We're not only told to obey God. I have no issue about obeying God. None. Happy to do so. We'll be back in a moment. Dennis Prager here, the Ultimate Issues Hour, and I wonder if... I know that I'm not alone. The question is whether I'm in a minority of people who believe in God. Obviously, for those who don't believe in God, it's not as vexing a question. But this Ultimate Issues Hour is with the ultimate issue, this question of, is God lovable? Obeyable? Absolutely. Believable in? Absolutely. It's not an issue to me. I'm a deeply believing religious man. But God's lovability, as I said, I think God himself realizes he may not be particularly lovable given the built-in, forget the just the man-made, but the built-in suffering in this world, and may in fact have therefore commanded us to love him. We're not commanded to love our parents, we're not commanded to love our children, we're not commanded to love our spouses, we're not commanded to love our friends, and we're told to love the stranger. And that's because it doesn't come naturally to love a stranger. So when we're commanded love, it is because it doesn't come naturally. God himself understands that it doesn't come naturally to love him. That's my point here. 1-8-PRAGER-776, go to Sacramento, California. Gary, hello, Gary. Dennis Prager.
Hey, Dennis, my favorite talk show host.
Thank you.
I'm perplexed over this same question, and I've arrived at a couple of conclusions. First, He wouldn't give us a commandment that wasn't possible to achieve.
Agreed.
Second, we're supposed to, Christians and Jews alike are supposed to love everyone as their self, correct?
Yep.
And the only way we get to love anybody, as far as my understanding is, through knowledge and trust. First, as if there's a child in China, how can I love that child not knowing that child? We can get to learn to know God, and by our applying our prayers and studying of God, we get to know Him, and hence, as our knowledge of Him grows, so does our love. And it's the same as if you're in a foxhole with somebody in the war, the reason you love your buddy is the comradeship that comes from trusting your life in His hands. And the same with God. If we trust God that He's going to be on the lookout for our well-being, it allows us to say, start off with the idea, gee, I probably can love that guy because he's going to take care of my best interest.
Well, what if he didn't take care of your best interest?
The world, as I love Gerald R. Schroeder, and as he puts it, God doesn't really interfere with Mother Nature. He lets Mother Nature take its course for most of the
things. That's right. All right, I'm with that too. So go on. So why is that lovable?
Well, because He gives us our freedom to choose, and that's a lovable quality. So bad things happen when you allow a Mother Nature to take
course. Yeah, but if you're born a Siamese twin, you don't have much of freedom to choose.
Well, what if that mind, what he calls the mind of the universe or the mind of all intelligences, what if that mind chose to come into a body and that's the choice they made based upon the things that they would learn from that situation?
Okay, if that's your view, then fine. Then you have reconciled all the built-in injustices with that is what we have chosen from a previous existence. Then God is off the hook. Okay, I'm just analyzing how you folks have dealt with it. Greeley, Colorado. Heather. Hi, Heather. Dennis Prager.
Hi.
Hi.
I definitely think that God is lovable, and that's because He made a good world. And the Bible tells us that that everything that He made was good. And I think it was after Adam and Eve fell that things started going downhill.
Right, but He made Adam and Eve.
Right. And He gave them a free will choice.
Right.
To love Him or to choose to be selfish. And they chose selfishness. And so things started going down. And I think that, like, Siamese twins and things like that happen because, I don't know, we...
So you would tell a person who lost a child at six to some disease that, look, it has nothing to do with God, it's because of Adam and Eve.
Yes, but I believe that, you know, God is coming back and that He's going to make everything good again. So that's what faith is all about.
Right, I do believe God will make things good. That's why I said in the beginning, with regard to an afterlife. I do believe that. Otherwise, I couldn't believe. I do believe that. But again, that's the lovability of God in this world is, I think, a challenge, or God wouldn't have commanded us to do so. I'm Dennis Prager. We continue. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here, the Ultimate Issues Hour. Every week at this time, some ultimate issue, and it may concern religion, it may not. This week, it's not even so much religion as it is God. And the question of ultimate issues here is God lovable? And I argue that God Himself knows that He's not, which is why He tells us to do so. I'm talking to those who believe that, obviously, that He does. And you're the ones that I'm really addressing. Those who don't believe in God certainly don't find a God they don't believe in lovable. I mean, that's rather obvious. So the question is, for those who do believe in the same God that I believe, or more or less the same God, and for me, it has always been an issue, and I have always admire God. I respect God. I try to obey God. I am constantly aware of the wonder of creation, and I marvel at it. It has been a challenge to see the amount of human suffering, of staggering suffering, and then walk away saying, gee, I just, boy, do I love God. It's, you know, there are people who have a bigger challenge than I, obviously. The people who find it very difficult, given the state of the world, the suffering from the outset, the injustice built in. Now, I'm not just talking about what people do, although that is a factor as well, who can't even believe in God. But I don't have that issue. But the lovability, the key for me is that we're told by God, at least according to the book that I believe that God is involved in, to love him. And we're only commanded to do things that we wouldn't naturally do. As I said, not commanded to love our children. So God himself recognizes that it doesn't come that naturally. 1-8-PRAGER-776, though the lines are taken, it is worth your coming in. A reminder, incidentally, that tonight, I just found out myself, I'll be on Larry King again tonight, so that should have, I see who else is on. It should be one of those interesting shows of people who don't agree with me. All right, let's go on. Now, by the way, one possible answer is that I may have the word love wrong. Maybe the love that we are to feel toward God is not to be in any way analogous to the love that we feel toward a spouse or a child or a friend, but it's something different. The only problem with that, and I would buy that. But then what does love mean if I can't, If it is in no way related to the only loves that we as humans can know, the love of another human being, then it doesn't, I don't know what it means then. Now, you can all have all sorts of theologies about different types of love, and I respect that. But it's pretty clear you're supposed to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. In other words, everything in you is supposed to love God. And it's a great thing. And I envy those who do, by the way. I admit that this is an area of incompletedness, if you will, in my own life. I don't tell you this with any degree of pride. On the contrary, it's a struggle that I am sharing with you. So that is the issue for me. Ellen in Philadelphia. Ellen, Dennis Prager, hi.
Hi, Dennis. What an honor to speak with you.
Thank you. I can't
even believe I'm talking to you. There are many aspects of this question, and I have struggled with it my entire life. But I do believe that what I've come to think at 51...
Wait a minute. You have struggled with it.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. All right. So there's at least another one. Okay, fine.
Absolutely. I think it might be a Jewish thing.
It might be. It is
so
interesting. It might be.
You know, God said we're a stiff-necked people. We are, you know, we question.
Well, the other thing is, remember, Israel means struggle with God.
Right, right.
The very word itself. So it's like there's permission to do that.
Right.
Go on.
And I think there is permission. I think God wants us to ask those questions and to find out, because then it brings you into a situation where you're questioning, you're looking into, you're not just living your life and forgetting that he's there. But at a very young age, I had a very difficult situation happen to my sister, my younger sister. She ended up institutionalized at a young age with brain damage. And I remember having a complete crisis of how could God allow this to happen. And I decided at that point in time that it wasn't God that caused this. The bad things in the world were not caused by God. But then I've had several struggles with it throughout my life. And what I've come to... Are you there?
I sure am.
Oh,
I'm on every word.
I thought I lost you.
Nope.
What I've come to realize for myself is that it depends on what your expectation is of God. If you think that he's going to offer a world that there's no trouble, and I mean real suffering, then you're disappointed all the time. If you understand that with life comes trouble, and what he is really, and you know, you've been talking about how you're supposed to love him. Well, for me, it's been an act of trying to love him like a father, because what I look for from him is comfort. not to fix the situation necessarily, even though I pray every day and I pray for his, you know, protection over my children, whatever, but, and I believe he does those things. But if a bad thing happens, I don't look to blame him anymore. I look for him to sustain me through it.
Yeah, that's Kushner's, I think, brilliant insight, which as I have found helpful, though we have different theologies, Harold Kushner and I, he has helped me with that point. That's where God comes in. Not that he will bail me out, but that he will be with me while I am suffering. That's huge, and I believe that, incidentally. I'm a very rational person, which is one of the reasons that I in fact make a very persuasive case for many people with regard to God's existence. It is because I have not abandoned rationality for the deep religious faith that in fact I have. We'll be back in a moment. All right, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Final segment of this edition of the Ultimate Issues Hour. And I really enjoy you folks. I'm looking at the calls from around the country. I have posed the question, which for some of you is a non-issue. Those of you who don't believe in God, it's a non-issue for. And for a fair number of you who believe in God, it's a non-issue for. But for some who believe in God, it is an issue, and I have one of them, and that is God lovable? That is the question that I have posed here this Ultimate Issues Hour. And we go to Tampa, Florida. Monique. Hi, Monique. Dennis Prager.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was thinking a lot about what you said, and I think about it all the time. So I agree with you in that it is very difficult. It's a challenge when you think about human injustice and just all the bad things in the world. How do you love God? I think he does command us to love him because he knows it's difficult. I reconcile this just because I don't feel I have a choice in the matter. I love God. I'm compelled to love him. It's almost like there's something within me that is so attracted to God that I love him because of that attraction, his awesomeness, and
so it goes beyond reason.
It definitely goes beyond reason, and it also has to do with faith and trust because we are promised justice in the afterlife, and you know that there's an ultimate purpose in justice. So we have to basically go on trust, and it's kind of like that saying that says there's no sense asking if the air is good to breathe if there's, you know, there's nothing else to breathe. You know, we, and I don't mean to sound irreverent by saying that because I do really appreciate and love God wholly, but I do feel that it's something that we'll know in time. It's not something we're just going to know definitively while we're here on this earth. It's one of those mysteries that we'll learn.
Well said, Monique. I appreciate your call. When I saw what you were about to say, and I thought what you said was excellent and very true, I think for some people it just comes as a given, as I think for my father. I gave that example. You were also on, I thought going to say that there's no choice. I mean, what am I going to do? Walk around with what? And there would be a lot of merit to that too. Barbara, Juanita, Dennis, and other lines whose names I don't see right now. I wish I could have gotten to your calls, let's put it that way. Anyway, I'd love to get your emails on this. Be very helpful to me as I write about this very subject. Again, I'll be on Larry King tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Discuss a whole host of issues that confront our country at this time. See you on TV. See you back tomorrow on radio. Thank you for listening. This has been the Ultimate Issues Hour on the Dennis Prager Show.